Some houses creak with age. Others scream out, revealing the pain of hidden secrets. In Hartford City, Indiana, the Monroe House has long been whispered about, an unassuming structure hiding a sinister secret. Paranormal teams have investigated for over a decade, but what they uncovered isn't just haunting. It's horrifying. Ritual objects buried beneath the home, growling voices in the darkness, and an oppressive energy that defies explanation. Tonight, I'm joined by documentary filmmaker Matt Benton, whose new film, Evil Unearthed, brings us face to face with the most disturbing evidence yet. This isn't just another haunted house story. This is the kind of place that changes you. Welcome to the Paranormal 360, and joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Matt Benton. Matt, thank you so much for joining us here tonight on the program. This sounds like a very disturbing haunting, and that's coming from a guy who's seen a lot of disturbing hauntings. Let's learn a little bit about you. What has brought you to the world of filmmaking, and especially documenting haunted locations like this?
You know, so it actually started, well, for the interest of filmmaking, started when I was a little kid. I was always watching the making of films and everything. But I never actually decided to get involved in filmmaking until I became a paranormal investigator. And I had a personal experience at the Old Washoe Club in Virginia City, Nevada back in 2011. Had a piece of brick thrown, and that got me hooked. And so that's actually explained in my first documentary. So I had that experience, and I was like, oh, I want to do this for a living. This is amazing. Having something thrown after you ask a question, that's insane. So that's why
Most people have an experience like, I don't know, a brick being thrown at them. And that's enough to never want to go back to a location again or have another experience like that. You embraced it and thought, this is my career. I'm going to continue to go. I'm going to document these things and I'm going to share them. I applaud you because I'm that kind of guy myself. I want to have the experience, as weird as it may be, and see if I can make sense of it. But what kept you going? I mean, that's a place of fear. And you were very young when that occurred.
Yes, I was pretty young. I was 16 years old when I started. So it was weird because it kind of led, everything in my life kind of led up to that point, because I was, my two favorite subjects were science and history. And then I was also interested in horror films. I love horror genre. And then I had all these experiences as a child. I had like personal experiences with shadow people when I was younger. So I was always interested in the paranormal, but it wasn't until that one day in the summer of 2011, I was like, I'm making it official. And so I later go and started shooting episodes. And so they're very bad back in that day, time period. But over the years, I started learning more and more. So mostly self-taught. Then I went to film school for about a year. And then instead of paying all that money, I was like, I'm just going to keep self-teaching myself. And so
Understandable.
And it worked out.
Now, you said that you had encounters with shadow people. Can you go into that a little bit more for us?
Yeah. So when I was very young, I used to see shadow people all the time, which they say kids can see things that most people cannot, because they're more open. They're not, the world doesn't, like, they haven't put that in your head. It's nothing.
Right.
Yet. And so when I was young, I used to see them all the time, and it got me interested in it. But
when you say see them all the time, where were you seeing them?
At home, like just random places. It was very random. It was never, it never made sense. It was just happening all the time. And so
would you see them in just dark places, or would you see them in, you know, you're out at McDonald's and some shadowy would walk by?
Actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was actually walking down into Sam's Club one time and I just saw one. And that was the first time I mentioned it to my mother. And she just said, oh, it's probably just your imagination. You're growing and stuff like that. Something like that is what she said. And then she doesn't remember that story, but I do. And yeah, it was just very interesting. Then I just kept quiet about it, kept it to myself after that. So,
all right. So you have these shadow figure encounters. Did you ever feel threatened or frightened by these experiences?
When I was younger, I was a little frightened by it sometimes. I used to have a lot of weird dreams too. But yeah, when I got older, I would say I just got into the books, basically. I was reading into a lot of paranormal books, and I was intrigued by that. So,
Now, this case specifically, and again, the documentary is called Evil Unearthed, a Matt Benton film. Tell us a little bit about how this story came to your attention.
You know, it's interesting because it was back in this 2017. It's the first time I've ever investigated. I was actually filming a different documentary concept where I get locked inside of a building for 3 days by myself. It was called Man versus Paranormal. And so I was basically trying to get myself into situations to where I would be stuck in the building. I was more because at this point, the paranormal, I was just getting so, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, used to it. Like I needed something that excite me a little bit more, and also something that hasn't really been done much before. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put myself in the building for a long period of time and have a psychological experience with it. And so I did that. And then I started uncovering some interesting things about this house in particular. In that film, it was three different locations for Man vs. Paranormal, but this one was the one that stuck out. And you'll see why. In the trailer, we find a stick figure, ritualistic item, and also some bones, human remains.
So, and when you say stick figure, it's almost in that Blair Witch kind of way, right?
Yes. And you know what's dude, I'm telling you, when I saw that in real life, I was like, this is like a movie in real life. I can't believe this is happening right now. And so I was at that moment. I was like, this has to be in a film. And I started uncovering more and more about the house. I was like, this shouldn't be a Man versus Paranormal film. This should be its own film. So specifically about the Monroe House. And so that's when I was like, okay, that's it. This is it. I'm doing a film on the Monroe House. And then at this point in time, I've already filmed, I've accumulated 7 years of footage on this location.
Wow.
7 years of documenting this one house, and at the very end made a documentary out of it. And so it was something that's unique, I think, because I don't think there's many films out there that someone's done a long time period of investigating at. And this is one of those films, and we uncovered a lot.
And in a lot, it's a lot. You go in, you investigate this, you've made it part of your life for 7 years. Did you ever feel like it was something beyond that was calling you back to this location over and over again, or an affinity to this place like maybe you'd been there before?
As a documentary filmmaker, it was the story. Mm-hmm. This location has a story to be told. And so that's what came to this film. This is what I do as a filmmaker, is I love to tell a really good story that's also 100% real. And so this is one of those locations that sticks out, and it had to be a film. So that's what drew me to that place, was the story.
Very cool. I love people that have the passion to go in, take their time to tell a story, see what's going on, and put it together. We've only got, you know, about 20, 25 seconds left here, but how hard is it to start to dig up history on a place like this? And especially when it's dark history.
Well, it's basically, you have to go through there's some news articles that you see in the film that we found from a specific Hartford City newspaper. And then also we did some research in death certificates. And so it's not that hard with today's technology, if you know how to do the research, but that's basically it. So,
yeah. All right. Well, let's start to find out what Matt uncovered when he took it beyond just the experience of being there and started researching. We'll do that next, right here on the Paranormal 360.
Now, during the Halloween season, the veil between the worlds gets thinner and the chills get real. Oh, so very real. Something is waiting in the dark, and it's calling your name. So answer the call this Halloween season, for the Paranormal 60 presents Halloween Haunts and Hijinks, October 9th through the 12th, for a supernatural weekend you'll never forget. It's being held at the historic haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Join Dave Schrader from the Holzer Files, Ghosts of Devil's Perch, and the host of the Paranormal 60 podcast. He's teaming up with Dalen Spratt from Ghost Brothers and Phantom Forensics. And we have heart-centered intuitive Diet Renee for a weekend packed with spine-tingling experiences. You'll have two nights of live investigations and paranormal experiments, interactive workshops, gallery readings, and meet and greets, live presentations with experts themselves. This isn't just an event. It's a doorway to the unknown. So you have to ask yourself, do you dare cross it? Now, tickets are limited, so please book your Halloween haunts and hijinks adventure now at darknessevents.com. Again, that is darknessevents.com.
So if you live in and around the Twin Cities area and want to have an experience of your own at one of Minnesota's finest paranormal establishments, then you can join me at the Palmer House this October, and I hope that you will consider doing it. Check out darknessevents.com. You'll find out information about that event and all the other events I'll be a part of this year and into next year. Tonight, Matt Benton is my guest, and we're discussing his new documentary and talking about the background and history of Evil Unearthed, the Monroe House. Let's start talking a little bit about the, you know, peeling back the layers. You do the regular investigation first and then start going into the history, or did you arm yourself, Matt, by reading up on this location first before entering to start doing your basic investigations?
So sometimes I like to go in blind, so I get some information from the owner and then I do the research afterwards sometimes. And this is one of those cases I did that. And sometimes I do the opposite. So I do a lot of research into it and then I go into it. Not too much was out on the Monroe House back in 2017. They did have one show that released something about it. That's all I kind of knew about it. And the history wasn't as in depth of what's out there right now when it comes to the location. With some of it, I should say. There's been some people that have been digging up more that is now into the film. Actually, there's even more information in this film that has never been public before.
Wow.
That is in this film. So there's more to be uncovered. That's actually one of the taglines of this film, basically to uncovering the secrets of the Monroe House. And so you kind of see that in this film.
As this film unfolds and you put it together and sharing this information, since you put the wrap on it, has more information come to you? Do you see a Monroe House Part 2, Evil Unearthed, dear?
I'm one of those people that likes to move on with a different type of project.
Sure.
As an artist, I'd like to do new things. So I think I'm going to be done with this unless, you know, capture the Holy Grail full body apparition one day. You know, then maybe it'll be different. But as of right now, I have some other film ideas that have not been, that I have not done yet. So.
Now, during your investigations of the Monroe House, did you ever feel personally, spiritually, physically, however you want to describe it, in danger?
For me, no. But others, yes. It's weird because for me, I have never been attacked in my 15-ish years of doing this. I've never been attacked, but I've seen others be attacked. For some reason, I just have something where I just don't get attacked. So I didn't really have a fear. It was more of I felt an interesting presence that kind of felt like it was something from the distance, kind of like malingering. My English messing up right now, but basically
words is hard, Matt. I know.
Yeah. English. It basically is like in the distance kind of. It was only a couple things that have happened when I did the Man versus Paranormal there, but one of them was extremely big thing and that you'll see in the film. So it was an interesting experience being stuck there by yourself. It just had this weird vibe, this weird presence. It was, and anyone that goes to the Monroe House, I think most of them have the exact same experience. So
with the type of experiences that you had there, and I know you don't want to give too much away because you really want people to check out the documentary, but we have to know what type of experiences were you able to actually experience over a 7-year span?
So let's just say I captured actually one thing that was so damn rare. I've only captured it probably 3 or 4 times in my entire career of something moving on camera. So watch out for that. That's very rare. And then another thing would be some voices that are captured that kind of give some more clues to what's going on in the house. So it's interesting.
So you had something move. So physically things were being changed. You heard audio EVP recordings. Did you also hear the direct voice phenomena where you could hear it out loud as though it was there in the room with you?
Yes. And actually it's one of the creepiest ones I've ever captured. It's really cool when you hear it. Yes. It's okay. So weird. It happens when I'm crawling out of the crawl space. You'll see.
Crawl spaces are never a good place to be in, man. That's always where the nastiest stuff seems to lurk. How about visual? Have you seen shadowy figures there? Have you seen apparitions or mists, black amorphous blobs? What has been the visual for you and others?
I've seen shadows in the corner of my eyes, nothing that makes the film because it's not video evidence. So it's just a personal experience. But others have experienced similar things. I've seen shadow figures and stuff like that. But when it comes to, I'm very big about evidence, and I get straight to the point of the important things about the house and the phenomena. So I kind of don't try and show all the little things of experiences and everything, because then the runtime will be a little too long for a documentary. So it's cut down to the important parts.
Was it tough? I mean, when you're going through and you've got all of this footage from all of these years, was it weird to have to cut some pieces because you knew this narrative was bigger, but man, I'm second guessing myself. Maybe I should include this too. Was that part of your process?
Yes, that's a big part of it. And I also edit my films for the paranormal fans. I don't do it for specifically all audiences. So I do keep, it's still a little bit longer than your normal documentary. It's a 2-hour, 20-minute documentary from 7 years of work on this location. So it's a bit longer, but it gives you every detail and information that I felt was important in this film. And there is some things I still left out because I was thinking it was starting to get a little too long. So I was like, it needs to stay here, so I can't go any longer. So, but I, from all the reviews so far on the film, it's been from the paranormal fans. No one's had a problem with the runtime. When just the regular casual viewer, some of them had problems with the runtime. But for the paranormal fans, I haven't had that problem yet.
Yeah, those are the same people that'll sit there and tell you 2 hours is too long, and they'll watch Netflix for 5 hours as they binge Happy Gilmore movies and Adam Sandler. Right? It's
yes, or watch Lord of the Rings.
Right. Oh, God, right. Exactly. We've got more to discuss. And when we do come back, I want to talk about the long-term effect of exposing yourself to a location like the Monroe House. What is that like? Does it impact and affect your daily world, your daily life, your perceptions of the things around you? Because I've got to guess that steeped in that kind of supernatural phenomena for long periods of time, nobody can be left unaffected. We'll talk more with Matt Benton when we return right here to your home for paranormal. This is the Paranormal 360. Okay, Matt, 7 years of visiting a location repeatedly. Does this place kind of become a second home to you? Does it become problematic for you to kind of separate your expectations when you visit other places, knowing what kind of experiences you've had at the Monroe?
Yeah, I would say I definitely have a connection to this place, and it was mainly because it felt like I was meant to make this documentary because of the things I was uncovering and the only person to have it. So it was basically the possession audio. I was the only one that had access to that. I was, and also my friend Justin Brown. And then also the stick figure that I found, I'm the only one that had that video. It was like so many things were coming, and I was finding more stuff about the history that correlated. And I found out about the guy that did the rituals, which you'll find in this film. And that has never been released to the public. And that is all things I felt like I was meant to make this documentary about the Monroe House, because there's nothing out there as in depth on the Monroe House as this documentary.
What is some of the background? I mean, what was the Monroe House? Was it just a home? Was it a former asylum, part of the Underground Railroad, a children's orphanage? What is the baseline of information that you have about this home?
It was always just a house, and it had other parts of the building in the past where someone would stay that was separate. They would have roommates kind of, but there's some that are staying in different areas of the building. And then I think they changed it up building-wise also. So there's been a construction done to it, and especially from the new owner, Eddie. He was actually, it was interesting because he was not into the paranormal when he bought the place. He was just trying to flip the house and sell it. And then he was having experiences, and also all of his workers were quitting when they were working there because of personal experiences they were having at the house. And after all the research we've done and after all of our experiences, it seems like we kind of found our answer, most likely, of what was causing it. And it has to do with that one guy. Most likely, you know, you can't say everything 100% in the paranormal. It's just a theory, but there was a person.
Was that area known to be cursed? I mean, known to have other tragedies that befell that property throughout the years?
Yes, there was deaths on the property, but I truly believe it was more has to do with the rituals that took place there. There was rituals that took place in that house. And obviously the stick figure is a clear sign of that. And it's not just the stick figure. There was also a bag of human hair and a necklace. And then also I've heard about chicken bones being tied up. And then we found human remains, which that is the biggest mystery out of that whole thing, is the human remains found.
Now, when you find human remains, though, Matt, I mean, this is obviously a point where you have to involve law enforcement, right?
Yes. You see me in the film, talk to the cops. That's all I'm going to say from here. But in the film, you do see me talk to the cops about it.
How is the current owner about that when you uncover something that big?
Well, it was actually uncovered first by Nick Groff. He was the first one that found the bones.
Sure.
But he missed some of the artifacts like the stick figure. And so it was, I would say for the situation for the cops and everything, that was mostly situated from when Nick Groff was around dealing with that. But I went in there a little bit after him. And I also, for me, I don't trust TV shows 100% because I know showbiz and everything. So I'm not saying they're fake or anything. I don't know. But I try to validate things myself instead of just listening to what's on television. So I had to go in there myself, see if this is legitimate, and also show it to an anthropologist to see if they could identify it as human also. And that's what I did in this documentary.
Knowing that there is this kind of tragedy and high strangeness, and that there are people that are doing rituals and maybe calling things forward or altering the reality of that location, was there ever points where the more you uncovered, you felt like, maybe this is something I need to just step away from?
No, I never want to step away from this. I am obsessed. You could say I'm obsessed with this work, and I actually find it so intriguing. I don't find fear in it at all. I'm actually just completely intrigued, and having experiences that most people in their lifetime don't experience this at least this many times within your life period. It's just too addictive, having more and more experiences. And also there's always more questions than answers, and it keeps me, my brain stimuli going, you know, keeps me going. Like it's my thing.
Should a place like the Monroe House, though, should it be a place that everybody should explore? Or is this a cautionary tale as well? Something that maybe people should reconsider? You know, there's having a passive interest in the paranormal and wanting to go see a haunted house for yourself. But then there's something different when it comes to knowing the history, knowing what's going on there, and knowing what the inherent dangers are of doing something like this and putting yourself into these, injecting yourself into these situations.
Yeah, I would say that it's very selective for this entity here. I also feel like this for most demonic cases. I'm not saying 100% it's demonic, but there is some physical evidence that promotes that theory. And so I would say that when it comes to demonic cases, it's usually selective with the individuals it affects. And that seems to be the case with the Monroe House. It's very selective. It doesn't really do anything to me, but I have seen it do it to others. And you can hear in the trailer of the film of the possession audio. And let's just say I got a phone call right when that was happening. And so there was, and I'm not the only person that got to witness this. it's happened to multiple people that have been to the Monroe House.
You say demonic, and I know, and as you said, you love the paranormal, you love the shows, you don't necessarily know what to believe when you watch all the TV shows, because in your opinion, entertainment is entertainment, and sometimes there may be a little bit of that infused into these projects. The term demonic gets thrown around pretty easily throughout our field. Why do you feel that this case is something demonic and not just something unsettling or an irritated ghost that's just lashing out?
Because of the rituals that were done by the guy, he said he was actually trying to summon Beelzebub and some other demonic forces. So it seems to pertain plus the possession and also being more of a psychological haunt. And so there's like a lot of things that adds up. So if it quacks like a duck, it could be a duck.
are there people that you've met through your journey that refuse to go back to the Monroe House because of the impact?
I have heard of that happening. Not anyone that I'm close friends with or anything, but yes, I have heard of that happening. Especially with the workers that go to the Monroe House to just do their job and fix up the place.
And they're in and out, huh? Are they seeing things, hearing things, yes, feeling threatened?
You're seeing shadow figures and footsteps when they're in the basement, they hear footsteps upstairs when they know no one's there, and it freaks them out and they leave because they're not paranormal investigators. They're not there for that. They're there to just do construction on the house, and they just get up and leave and quit. So, yeah.
When we come back, I do want to ask, you know, having a chance to have been around the owner for all these years, do you see a psychological impact that it starts to take on a person that owns this property, that lives there or is there quite often? And if so, is there a concern on your part for their safety? We'll talk about that and more right here on the Paranormal 360.
Oh, are you reading me? Come in. Hello?
Greetings from the shadow and welcome to Shadowzine. My name is Jeff Belander. I'm an author, podcaster, and explorer of the unexplained. For 30 years, I've been investigating the paranormal, UFOs, monsters, and things that bump in the night. Lately, you may have noticed how major TV networks and even social media networks have been pushing our favorite subject back into the shadows. I say good. That's why I launched Shadowzine, a monthly underground publication that covers your favorite topics in depth by some of the leading writers and researchers out there. If you're looking for 30-second TikTok clips, go somewhere else. If you're ready for a deeper dive, put down your phone and pick up Shadowzine. You can't find it in stores. This is old-school print. Head to shadowzine.com and be part of the underground revolution. That's shadowzine.com, and I'll see you in the shadow.
We have Matt Benton as our guest tonight here on the Paranormal 360. Evil Unearthed is the name of the documentary. And we do have a link on today's program guide so you can find the movie, check it out for yourself as well. Before the break, Matt, I asked, having had exposure to the owner, there have been some places, and it's been in the news for the last year or so, some of these well-known haunted locations seem to be deeply affecting and impacting the owners in very strange ways. Do you have any concern for the current owner of the Monroe House, or having watched it, you know, kind of unfold the way it does it start to impact their lives maybe in not such a great way?
I would say maybe, but I wouldn't be 100% because I don't see him on a daily basis at home or how it affects him when he goes home. But he hasn't particularly told me anything of something happening to him at home, but he has heard of many other cases where people have had heart issues or some kind of other issues right after the investigation or gone to like some kind of car accident. I'm not saying that that's, you know, paranormal or anything. It's just, that's what he believes it's a possibility is what he thinks. I don't know if I 100% believe that, but he definitely believes it's affecting people. And the one that got possessed definitely seems to be affected. And also every single time she keeps coming back, most of the time she comes back with scratches on her back, which is interesting. So you see something maybe like that in the film also. So,
well, let me ask you about that then. I mean, where where is the line we should draw? And I know this is a hard judgment call, so I'm just asking on your part, and this is no judgment on the current owner, but if he feels that this is having a negative impact and an effect on people that are visiting, and there are people that are claiming to be possessed by the energies and entities of this home, should this be someplace that is readily available to the public to come in and investigate, to go experience for themselves? Or should we start reeling these things in and shutting them off from the public to maintain the integrity of the location and the people that come to visit it?
I think he should be more choosy about who he gets in the house, basically. So I think that I don't think the normal, you know, crazy YouTuber should be going in there and going to the house. And when the ones that are just more about the entertainment, and only serious investigators, I think, should be probably involved in that house.
See, but that's a problem, right? We don't have like membership cards. Hi, I'm Dave Schrader, serious investigator. How do we differentiate between the passive and the serious? And even though they're YouTubers, I will say this, there are some YouTubers out there I give a lot of credit to that I think are very, very good at what they do. And there are others that think they are and are very passionate about the project and bringing awareness to our field. So that's got to be a hard line to walk.
It is. And,
yeah, differentiate.
It is. I was just saying, like, in general, I'm not saying all, just a lot of YouTubers are seem to be more about the entertainment side of things because they're not given the proper history. They're just trying to make it all more over-sensationalized with false history. So they're not doing the proper research in their investigations. Not all, but that seems to be the case a lot of the times. And so there's some that I feel like the ones that that's going to be harder for him because he's not a paranormal investigator for the owner. He doesn't investigate the paranormal, so he doesn't know who are the good ones or who are the right ones. So I do agree with you. It's hard to judge completely. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Overall, even serious investigators, is there a line we should start to draw of when there's been enough repeated attacks and enough people that are physically, mentally being subjected to these places? Should we start to be more cautious with, you know, the support of locations that want to remain open? Because it seems like at what point do they start throwing away safety?
Yeah, I would say for the ones that I mentioned with the car crashes and heart issues and everything, that's not verifiable as paranormal, you know, so we don't really know at that point for that. So when it comes to the possession, I think it's legitimate, but when it someone could just say, oh, she's just having a mental breakdown or a psychological issue. So there's a gray area here that we don't really know the answer to. So I would say we know what we're signing up for. I guess it depends on the person. Sometimes they don't. I would say a lot of the serious investigators know what they're signing up for and they're willing to risk. So kind of like you signed the contract kind of, but you really didn't, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to explain, but that's how
I
feel.
No, I get you. I know it's a big question to have to wrap our heads around in the last minute of a program, but I guess maybe what it should come down to is when the owner starts to think, wow, there's a lot of people being negatively affected. Maybe it's time that owner starts to, and I'm not just talking about the Monroe House. I mean, in general, if you as the owner of a haunted location feel that this place may be negatively impacting people, it may be a time that you have to step back and say enough's enough. And I know that's tough because you and I want to still go out and check these things. And what is the line of fear? What I'm terrified by may be nothing to Matt Benton. And what Matt Benton is terrified by may be nothing to me. Because we all have different levels of experience and what we're willing to accept. So it makes it tough. But I think maybe the calling card should be if the owner starts talking about how dangerous he thinks the place is, maybe it's better to not have that place open. The documentary is called Evil Unearthed. It's a Matt Benton film, and he's got more films and more footage that you can find. We have a link for it on today's program guide. Matt, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
What was unearthed beneath the Monroe House wasn't just physical. And whether it's the remnants of some ancient ritual, the echoes of trauma, or something more malevolent entirely. The Monroe House forces us to confront the idea that evil can anchor itself to a location. Thanks to Matt Benton and the teams behind Evil Unearthed, we don't have to wonder what lurks in that Indiana house. We've seen it, we've heard it, and now felt it. And I'll be back with more Paranormal 360 right after this.